You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence, for you have maintained my just cause. Margaret and I have been on a journey the last 16 months. 17 months ago, I had no idea what was about to happen to us. There are times when it's good God doesn't show you because the change has been so magnificent that it would have been kind of frightening to approach if we'd have known what was happening to us. But the last 16 months have been brilliant and wonderful, at times horrifying. Do you ever get horrified when you see what you really are like instead of what you thought you might be? I think there are times, particularly as leaders, we want so badly to be what we're supposed to be, so we project what we think we are or should be, and then after a while we just start believing that that's really who we are, when in reality we're actually nothing like that. And for myself, that's what's happened to me. And in the process, God has been gracious and kind, and he's been so good to my heart, because he could have been a lot harsher with me, and he probably should have been, but he wasn't. He was gracious. Margaret and I have seen so much in the last 16 months, and we met some amazing and wonderful people, and we've heard some inspiring and some heartbreaking stories along the way. And mostly it's been quite an unexpected journey of our heart. And so I'm going to tell you where we've been and what we've been doing and what we've been learning. There is so much detail. There's no way I could tell you everything I want to tell you. I need Shereya to schedule me again, because I really have some things that I need to share with you about the group of churches that were part of Regions Beyond and who they are and who they're not and how it is that you fit. So you need to get me back on the calendar before too long. Because I really, really, Margaret and I want to come and share with you the things that we've learned. And we want you to be more deeply introduced to the people that you are a part of. Because you haven't had the opportunity. JR right now is in South Africa, and a lot, this team is on its way to South Africa. And there is something waiting for you guys. Yeah. And there are a lot of people who are anxious to meet you, because they've heard about you and they want to meet you. But you guys that are going, just understand, you are not going to give. You are going to get. Don't go with the attitude you're going to give because they need what you're giving. They're going to be very grateful. But why you're going is because you're going to get something from God and from the people that you serve. You guys, there is some stuff going on out there on the earth. And we have got to stop being people who go thinking we have the answers, because the truth is, in the Western world, we don't have the answers anymore. We only have the money. We have the resources. We have a good attitude. But what we need is what they have. And so please, I all of you that are going, and those of you that are staying, pray for them that they come back with what they were sent to go get. Okay? Because that's what's happened to Margaret and I. This all started, I won't go through the whole story again. I'm trying to not do too much detail, or we'll be here until the afternoon, way into it. But what happened to us is we were invited to go to Clarence, South Africa, to see what Regions Beyond was all about, where it started. And Jason is going to take us there, and I don't think he'll find Clarence, but it's just north of Lesotho, which is a country inside of South Africa. And Lesotho is basically what we would say is kind of like a reservation. It was a chunk of country that was given to the people that were native to that land. And it's actually a separate country. You have to have a passport to go in, and you need to have your passport stamped on the way back out. When we went there in September of 2015, so it's maybe a little more than 16 months, but Margaret and JR and I went to Clarins, and we were introduced to Regions Beyond at that point, where it really began in a small town across the river from Lesotho. And our hearts were encouraged, our hearts were enlarged, our hearts were broken, our hearts were amazed. But what happened to me was that I realized that my heart was hard. It had become hard. And if somebody had asked me before that trip how I'm doing, I would have said, I'm fine. I'm fine. And if you'd have said, no, really, how are you doing? I'd go, I'm fine. I'm frustrated. It doesn't seem like God does things the way I think he should do them all the time. The truth is that Margaret and I had just come out of a long season. Those of you that are here last week, you heard Clem talking about seasons and how essential they are and how they're given to us by God and they're taken away and replaced with another season by God, and that we as a people need to know when we're supposed to migrate. And that was the word that Margaret and I heard back in 2011, 2012, prophetically. And it said, I will tell you when it's time to migrate. We didn't understand what that meant. It meant so much more than what it sounded like at the time. But we had just come out in about 2014. We came out of the longest dark season, I think, that we've ever had. It was about 7 years. And some of you would, you know, might be surprised to know that that's what happened to us or that's how we were doing. And that's because you don't stop in the middle of a hard season and lay in the dirt. You just keep going, right? And that's what we did. We kept going. But it was a long, hard, dark, cold season for us. And it ended in 2014. So here we are in 2015, near the end of 2015, and we're in this place that is just filled, it's brimming with people that are so excited about the work that God is doing on the earth, and particularly in their patch. We were, and until you've been in a meeting with real African worship, it's kind of hard to really understand, but oh my goodness. Are you going to Clarins? No, you're not, you guys aren't, you are? Oh good. You're going to be right in the thick of it, the African worship and the dancing and the music and the singing. It's phenomenal. It changed me. I found myself just sitting there in my chair with my head in my hands going, why am I here? I don't understand why you brought me here, Lord. I don't see what's here for me. And I kept complaining to him about everything. I was complaining about the worship. I was complaining about the speakers. I was complaining about the place we were meeting. I was complaining about all these people I was meeting. I was complaining about wasting all this time when I could have been working. And then the Lord just stopped me right there. And he said, Brian, you've asked me for fresh water. You asked me for a vision of what I'm doing on the earth. And I brought you here, and you are... Can I say the word that I heard? He said, you're bitching to me about the vessel I use to pour out the water. And it just knocked me to the floor. And I realized that the reason I was complaining about the worship and everything else is because my heart had gotten hard and I had no idea. It was all just bouncing off of my heart. Well, that was the beginning of a journey for us. I won't describe to you Margaret and JR's state at that time, except to say that while I had my head in my hands in the sanctuary, she and JR were sitting on the curb outside with their heads in their hands. Oh, you guys, there are times when we just... We just have to say, I'm not going to trust my heart. And I'm going to ask you, Father, to search it and see if there's anything in it that is not you. And God is so faithful to do that. And I recommend at least once a year, we all pray that prayer. I journal it about once a year because I just want to make sure. I pray it more often than that, but I make sure I write it in my journal. God softened my heart. And that was the beginning. So 2 months later, JR and I are in Dubai, Arab Emirates. Never in life ever thought I would be there or even wanted to go there. But we were invited there to go and meet with leaders from all over the world, with Regions Beyond. We saw global potential that Regions Beyond has. It was really uncomfortable for me because it was a completely new group of people. I was part of the leadership of a group that we'd all been part of for 30 or more years, actually more than 30 years. And I knew all those people. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting here with 600 or 700 people from around the world, and I don't know any of them. And it was awkward, and it was weird, and I was insecure. But I was crying out to the Lord, and I was saying, Lord, I want to find my place. I want Margaret and I to find our next assignment. And I just kept saying that over and over. I just want to know. Don't you do that sometimes where you just say, Lord, I just want to know. And he just says, yeah, but I tell you people stuff all the time, and you say you want to know, but then you don't do what I ask you to do anyway. But I just kept pounding in, and I just kept harassing God about this. What I got wasn't at all what I thought I was going to get. Here's what I wrote in my journal when I was sitting there. I said, Margaret and I are watching for our assignment. And then later in the day, two guys, one from England and another one from Israel, came over and they were praying for me. And they said this, the waiting is as important as the next assignment. God is expanding your heart for the people around you. This is preparation for your next assignment. And the next day, I wrote in my journal, it occurs to me that I've been asking the wrong questions. Duh. My eyes have been on the wrong things. My prayers have been improperly focused. My concerns have been misdirected. What I have asked, what would you have me to do? What I would properly ask, how might I glorify you, Father? Not what is my assignment, but what are you doing, Father? How might I give myself to that? Not show me your intentions, exclamation mark. But show me your heart, Lord. Not how can I make more money so that I can do what my heart desires to do, but what amazing provision you have made for Margaret and I. What change in our hearts must we make to steward that more effectively than we have? Not make a place for me among these people, but show me how I might lift up these devoted servants of yours and make their burdens lighter. Not, Lord, fulfill your word over me, but Lord, your will be done here, in and through my life, just as it is in heaven. Renew a right spirit in me. And then I was reminded of the scripture in John chapter 12, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And during the evening worship that night, Mark Jones from England prophesied this. He said to the group, but it was just to me. He said, you must stop asking the Lord, what is my assignment? Stop doing. Be as Mary, who was commended for sitting at the Lord's feet. Now, Penny, are you here? Because I know you're just going, amen, yeah, that's right. I've been telling him that. And then a good man, Colin Nichols, who just planted a church in Bloemfontein, South Africa, but is from England, he used this rephrase of scripture while preaching later that same night. Unless a seed fall to the ground and die, it will not bear fruit. Do you suppose God was speaking to anyone in that group that day? So obviously I went to the altar that night, and my prayer was, I will cease looking for my place, for my placement, for my assignment. I will pray and seek you, Lord. I must hear what you're saying, Lord. I must see what you are seeing. I must be found doing whatever you are doing. That's what I want. It was so much work for God to get me to that point. But at that point, my heart was finally aligned with God. Clem spoke a little bit about it last week, and you might have missed it because it was kind of buried in so many other good things he was saying, but he's talking about praying the will of the Father. That's how you know that you're praying the will of the Father. You have to hear that. You have to know what the Father, what his will is. And if you take the time to be with him and hear from him and know what is on his heart, then when you pray, you can say, I'm praying in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not adding his name to a prayer. It's being in him. Because Jesus said, I only speak what I hear my Father speak. Right? So when you're in him, not just adding his name to an end of a prayer, but you're really in him, abiding in him, and him in you, then when you pray, your prayer is already answered because it's the will of the Father in heaven. Finally, my heart was aligned. It wasn't a magnificent change outwardly, but inwardly, things begin to change very rapidly in me. Then, just a short time later, a couple of months later, I'm in Istanbul with Margaret. I mean, how did this happen? I just was minding my business in October, and then in November, God decides he's going to completely shift everything in our lives. And it was the place I've always wanted to go ever since I was young, and I read novels all the time, and I love novels about that area of the world. And here we are in Istanbul. And Steve Oliver invited Margaret and I to join 40 other leaders from around the world. Regions Beyond is just getting off the ground at that point and gaining speed very, very quickly. And Steve was concerned about that. He didn't feel like we were ready. So he asked us all to gather for a week of prayer and worship and learning and lots of conversation. He asked us all to help frame the movement so that it would be an effective and lively gospel movement. You guys, we had only met them a couple months before, and already we're sitting at the table with 40 other leaders from around the world, and they're saying, help us form this. There's no way you can make that happen. But God was answering our prayers. And he was, because our hearts had turned to him and said, Lord, we've come through this season, but now we don't know. We don't know what you're doing. Would you show us what you're doing on the earth? And he said, better yet, I'm going to let you become part of it. So for Margaret and I, we found ourselves among a group of people who one way or another had previous connections. We were the only people in that group who didn't have connections. We were complete outsiders, and we were the only people there without that kind of a long-term connection with the people in that group. We were so humbled to be invited, and the stories that we heard, Margaret. We heard of countries we didn't know existed. And we began to see a true energy and a real togetherness from this group of misfits, because they really were a group of misfits. Steve Oliver, the leader, refers to them really as this group of people, as the ones who gathered around King David in the cave of Adullam. And because he was hiding, because Saul, the king, wanted to kill him. And he was hiding in a cave, and pretty soon people just started gathering around him and saying, let's do this together. We rose really early every morning for what Steve in the program said was voluntary prayer. Like you didn't have to get up and pray, but then he made it really clear that it's actually compulsory voluntary prayer. So we rose very early and we prayed together. We prayed for one another, and then we'd eat breakfast. And I'm telling you this because you need to get a feeling for who you are with. So we had breakfast. then we worshiped together again, then we prayed together again, and then we prayed for one another again, and then we cried when we heard the stories. We were led in a devotional each morning. This is a group of leaders from around the world gathering together to discuss the movement and forming the movement, and we haven't discussed a single thing yet, and we're well into the day. All we're doing is praying and worshiping and hearing stories. And now, for 45 minutes of every morning, we learn about the Trinity from a theologian. And I'm beginning to think, I like these people. And then we'd go to worship again. And people would prophesy. And then we'd start to discuss Regents Beyond and how it should be formed and what sort of things should it be known for. Margaret and I at that time had a very real sense that we were being grafted into this young gospel movement, and we were glad of heart. So I started all of this with a hard heart. And then ultimately that was softened, and then I had my agenda, and God just completely threw my agenda out the window, and he aligned my heart with his. And then in Istanbul, he filled our hearts with joy because we realized we were finally part of something that had energy that seemed like it was probably going to be completely unstoppable, which is something our hearts had always cried for. I wrote in my journal while I was there, I said, I surrender again. I surrender to you, Lord my God. I surrender and wait upon you. Be still, my soul, and wait. Rest and see what your God may do. Listen and hear what he is saying. And Penny is going, amen, amen, amen. And I also wrote this. What a turn our lives are taking. My heart is filled with joy and thanksgiving that I am worshiping you, Lord, in Istanbul, a dream of mine. What unexpected joy and favor. My soul is overwhelmed. And then Margaret and I had two wonderful days in the city just being lazy. And then, a few short months later, I find myself back in Clarens, South Africa, for what's called a pizzo. And a pizzo is, in Lesotho, means a gathering of the elders. And it was a group of 24 men, again, from all over the world. And he gathered together really just to be together, to learn from one another and encourage one another, and ultimately to get to know one another better. We had times of encouragement and strengthening and prayer and worship and ministry to one another. Weirdly, I can't find any of my notes or my journal from that time. But during the course of this week, I got to know these men intimately. And so I began to feel something that I hadn't felt for an awfully long time. I felt connected to a group of men that I came to love. I was really in bad shape physically. In fact, I had to use a wheelchair to get off the airplane when I got to South Africa. And I was miserable. I couldn't stand, sit, lay down. I couldn't do anything. I was so much pain. And Steve put me in a cottage with the two tallest men in the group. They're just massive people. One was Jan Storvokkel from Holland, and another one was Richie Powell from the Isle of Skye in England. And these guys, because I was in such bad shape, there was this huge bedroom with a huge shower. I mean, the entire group of people could have taken a shower together in my shower. I had this massive bed, and I look in their room, and it's this tiny little room with two tiny little beds stuck in it, and a tiny little shower that I'm sure they had to get on their knees to actually get wet. And I'm in this massive suite because I was in such bad shape physically. And these two big men served me so humbly. They practically carried me to the meetings every time. And then I was put in a small group with three young men. One, his name is Jonathan Nunn, and he's from Rio de Janeiro. And then another one is Paul Simpson, who's a young man we just have come to love from the Eastern Cape of South Africa. Some of you will get a chance to meet Paul and Shannon. And then the other one was another man who's probably closer to my age, but he looks young. He's from India. He is an amazing leader and an amazing man. I'm in this group with these three guys, and we spent the whole week praying for each other and sharing our hearts, and I just ended up so more connected than ever. And I just absolutely love these men, and they all call me Papa now, which is a dream of mine as well. You guys know that. So finally, my heart was connected. And then, a couple months later, Margaret and I are back for another forum, this time in Mumbai in India, which is Bombay. And we were invited there to continue the work that was started a year before in Turkey, where we're helping form this group. And again, we're with 40-some people from all over the world. We've met Regions Beyond co-laborers from churches in so many places. There's just so many that I could take the time, if I had the time, to tell you. But we've met people from all of these places, and we have been inspired. What we heard when we were in India from this group of leaders, the quality of their hearts and the quality of their teaching and the quality of their lives just overwhelmed Margaret and I. And we realized that we had really stepped into something that we're going to have to step up to, because these people are serious about the work of the kingdom. And we are inspired. Our hearts are just filled with energy for the days to come. And then a couple of weeks ago, Ted and I were in Cape Town, South Africa, and Pietermaritzburg in South Africa, and Bloemfontein. We had the most amazing trip. I wish I had time to tell you about all the things that we saw. I can't. But the first weekend, I joined Steve Oliver and spent the weekend with a group of leaders in the Western Cape. One of the things about Regions Beyond is that we're here for one another's success. If you succeed, I succeed. And if I succeed, you succeed. And it's such a real thing. It's not a slogan. It's a reality. Did you ever think you'd be part of a church plant in that country? You are. And I'd encourage you to pray for them, because I have a feeling something's about to happen. God is doing some amazing things in that part of the world. And I think if he has got two people who are willing to put all of it on the line, wouldn't that be something we want to get behind and pray for? We went to Cape Town and spent time with Sheldon and Kathleen Kidwell, and we connected with them before in Turkey, but had an opportunity to spend time with them in their church and then their family, and we just had such a great time. Cape Town is one of the most beautiful places on the planet. Everyone should go to Cape Town. When we were done there, Steve Oliver asked if Margaret and I would come back and spend 2 months with the churches there in the Cape Town area, either this year or next year. We haven't decided what we're going to do or how we're going to pull that off, but I can tell you what that did to my heart, because that's what's in my heart, is to be part of an apostolic work. A couple of months ago, JR gave me a cassette tape, the first prophetic word that Margaret and I had ever gotten in our lives. It was back in 1988 or 89. And I haven't had the guts to put it in a cassette player, because I'm afraid it'll get eaten up. But I have Joni's notes. And in there, it says, among all the other amazing things that I don't remember because it was so overwhelming, Keith said, and you too will be doing an apostolic work in the days to come. The key being, nobody talked about apostolic work in 1988. That was not part of our vocabulary. Isn't that amazing? That's been our hearts. It's your heart to be part of an apostolic work where the apostles and the prophets are working together with the other Ephesians for ministry and helping build and establish churches all over the earth that will shine the glory of God wherever they are. Wow, that's all I can say. And then we went to Pietermaritzburg and spent time with Paul Simpson and Shannon Simpson and their family, and we met with a group of leaders there that are gathering in the Cape area, in the Eastern Cape area. Paul Simpson, you are going to hear more about him. You're probably going to meet him and his wife Shannon. They are two of the most energetic people for the kingdom I have ever met in my life. He is every bit, he's probably the most apostolic person I have ever met in my life. Just a young man, but he is unstoppable. He wears me out. 15 minutes of conversation, and I just feel like I need a nap. But he calls me Papa, and he says, you and Margaret have to come and spend 5 months with us next year. You've got to, because we want what you guys have to bring. You can help us unite this group of people so that we can take the entire east coast of Africa for Christ. My heart, when he was sharing that with me, what was going through my mind was this: thank you, Father, for crushing me. Because Margaret and I had been crushed. That 7-year period, we were crushed. I don't know any other way to describe it. We were completely crushed, and there really wasn't anything left in us. I know I pretended like there was, because that's what you do, but there wasn't anything left in me. And when this young couple says, please come, which is the fulfillment of a prophetic word we got in 2012, my heart said, for the first time, I was able to say to God, thank you for crushing me. Because 10 years ago, my response to that invitation would have been so carnal and so human and so disgusting, because I was trying to be something. And in the process, my heart became so hard that God couldn't have used me for anything, hardly. But I was able to say, thank you, Lord, because it wasn't an uplifting thing. It was a humbling thing. It wasn't me becoming anything. It was God fulfilling his word. And my heart is just so full. Margaret and I are so expectant for the days to come. I'm going to close with when Ted and I were in Bloemfontein to be part of the church plant there. There were people from all over the world who came just to celebrate that day. The opening prayer was in over 10 languages. The night before, we gathered to hear the testimonies of two wonderful and really amazing men. One from Israel. He was raised in a traditional Jewish family in Israel. His father was a refugee from Yemen. And God, he said, was something one was forced to worship. That's how he grew up. And he decided that he would decide his own fate, not God and not religion. And he made an absolute mess of it. He was married, had 3 children. He was way over his head in debt. He was working more than 2 jobs at different times, but he was working at this point 2 hours away from his family all week long. He had no food, he had no money, and he was deep, deep in debt, and he had no hope. His wife began to search for hope, and she found hope in Jesus Christ. And so one day he came home and to visit, and she snuck a New Testament into his bag when he left on Sunday night to go back to work. And so he called her a couple days later, and he was just tired and worn out and sad and just missing his family, and he didn't know what to do with himself. And she said, well, if you look in your bag, at the bottom of your bag, there's a little book that I sent for you. Maybe you should read that. And The thing is, when he walked in the house that weekend before and he saw his wife, he said, I knew immediately something was different. Something had changed, and it scared me. So he pulls out this little New Testament and he begins to read it. He says, I was shocked. Jesus had always been presented as a negative, as something to avoid, a heretic. He says, but I was so shocked to feel the love that was there in that man's words and in his life. And he said, when I was done reading, I knew it was the truth. Everything changed, he said. I was in a different world. I still had the problems, but now I could talk to God. What that has done to my heart, to hear the stories that I and Margaret and I have heard in the last 16 months. Last week, Clem Ferris spoke of the seasons from Ecclesiastes 3, and he said, God rules, and he legislates change in season. In other words, you don't get to pick your season, and you don't get to pick the beginning or the end of it. You have to choose how you're going to live in it, right? We must be willing to migrate when God ordains the season. He says if we stay in the old season, we will miss the benefits of the next season. And then he ended with these questions. Where am I this morning? Meaning, where are you this morning? Where am I this morning? Can I identify the season I am in or the season into which I am going next? Am I ready to hear and obey? Are you ready to begin a journey of the heart? Maybe you've already begun it. But I want to encourage you, Margaret and I want to encourage you, that no matter what state your heart is in today, you can begin a journey today. A journey that will take you from where you are right now to a point where you can be absolutely confident you are right in the middle of the season you're supposed to be in with the right attitude, with the right heart, with an increasing faith. Margaret and I have not been this revved up and expectant. I would have said that last week, except that Clem came to Bozeman on Sunday, and Sunday night he completely shook everything again when he prophesied over all of the people over there in the people in the church in Bozeman. Now I say all of them because there was, I think it was two couples and two singles. So I mean he can get that done in a short order. Oh my goodness, you guys, the things he spoke over those young people, and the way that it was spoken, and the energy with which it was spoken, and the purpose that they were being pulled into, just rocked my brain and my heart. And I'm even more expectant now than I was last Sunday because I've heard God's heart for this day that we're in right now. And it isn't a day to be living life in such a way that you're living it for you. And I'm telling you, at the beginning of this, I didn't know the shape I was in. I didn't understand what I needed. All I knew was that I desperately needed to find out what God was doing, and that was my prayer. In October of 2015, I said, Lord, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I can't just keep going through the motions. I have to know what you're doing on the earth, and I have to become part of it. I can't do this anymore. Please connect me with Ray Lowe, because he knows what's going on. And 30 days later, Ray calls me. He's from England. And he says, Brian, we're in Missoula. We want to come and spend the night with you and tell you what we're doing. But I had to come to that point where I said, I'm done. I'm done pretending. I resigned from leadership of the group that we've been a part of for 30-some years because I was done pretending. I'm not special. Those of you that have been around a long time know that. Margaret is, but I'm not. But what I am is completely filled with energy for the day that we are in. And I am here to tell you guys, the earth is on the edge of something. And I want to encourage you with all my heart, just if what you're doing is just going through the motions, sometimes to get through a dark season, you have to do that, but don't do it alone. Because you can go off course pretty fast. But there's something happening. And it isn't necessarily pretty, but it can be beautiful. Because it's bringing hope where there isn't any. And it starts right here. It starts right here. If you're done playing the game, if you're done pretending, I'm not saying go and confess it to everybody else in the room. I'm saying write it down in your journal, but mean it. Pray to God. Go for a walk with God and have this conversation with him where you say, all right, because this is how it all started for me. Father, I want to see what you're doing. And I want to hear what you're speaking. I had no idea where that was going to take me. And I still don't. But I do know this. I cannot fulfill a single purpose that God has for me. Only he can do it. If I'm in his hand. So just get in his hand. Maybe you need to get in his arms. That's okay. But if you want to be right in the thick of it, it's right there before you. It's right in front of you. It's for the taking. But your heart has got to be aligned with his. I am so grateful that I don't have to fake it anymore. I'm so grateful that Margaret and I don't have to sit and just shake our heads and say, what in the world happened? But now we can say, wow, look what's happening. And it isn't about going all over the world. It's not about meeting all these amazing people, although that's benefits. But it's about knowing that what you're doing has value and consequence in the kingdom. And I seriously could not have said that before. And I have no idea where this is going. But I have a sense of it. And I have an expectancy that just makes me rattle in my shoes. I like Penny's response. She wrote us a note a while ago. She said, well, I'm getting in shape because this looks like it's going to be a good, hard run, and I want to be in the race. She says, so I'm getting back in shape. I'm still asking you to pray for me, Penny, that I would get it back in shape too. No, it's just, that's the kind of motivation. So I know I'm rattling on now. But hear me. You guys, you can start the journey. If you're already in the journey, and many of you probably are, I would just encourage you, just throw yourself in the stream and let it flow. And make sure that you're talking to God about it. If I could ask nothing else of you, would you just renew your devotion to him in prayer and begin to ask him to show you what he's doing? That's what I'm asking. Would you stand with me? Father, we stand here together in the name of your Son. Your son promised that when we did that, when we gathered together, that he would actually be right here in the midst of the congregation, and he would declare your glory and your wonder in the spirit realm. Today, Father, we stand and do that physically. We declare your wonder. We declare your glory. We declare your majesty. We declare your love is absolutely overwhelming. And we declare our dependence upon you and our need, a very real need that we have, to be right in the middle of what you are doing. Your will be done, Lord, here on earth, in our lives, in this day, just as it is done in heaven. Lord, in order to obey, we have to hear. And so we just open our lives and our hearts to you and say, Father, speak. Let us hear that we would obey and obey quickly. Father, we're going to lay aside all the other things that we spend so much time thinking about. And we just say to you today, examine our hearts. And if you have the faith to do that, just ask God right now to do that in your own words. Examine our hearts, Lord, and show us if there be any way in them that is not of you. And renew a right spirit in us. Amen.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app, available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.